Subhanallah, if you look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human body, there is an astounding amount of precision that goes behind the genetic programming of every single cell that comprises a human being. And sometimes when those mechanisms go awry, then the human or the individual gets into big trouble. For example, when you lose contact inhibition, when you lose the programming which tells a cell to stop proliferating, right, to stop duplicating, then you get a cancer. And that's what cancer is. It's just sort of an uncontrolled growth where the cells sort of lose the brakes and they just take off and they keep on multiplying and there's no inhibition. It eventually becomes a mass and eventually it can get in the bloodstream and it can spread to other areas and it can seed other areas in the body, right? So these little cells go and then they go and deposit somewhere else in the body and then over there then they start growing too. So a person can start off with a cancer that exists, for example, in the liver, and if it starts spreading and gets in the bloodstream, they can go anywhere in the human body, right? And it might go and seed itself in the brain and then you get another tumor there. So what we call metastases. Now, a lot of the focus in medicine when it comes to cancer is you want to try to catch the cancer as early as possible, before it actually spreads to the bloodstream. Because if it gets into the bloodstream, the horse is out of the barn, as they say, right, in some respects. Because now it could go anywhere in the human body, and it's not in a particular spot now. You can have a couple of cells sitting somewhere in the body and then they start proliferating and maybe a few months later, even though you think you got the whole tumor, you got a new nodule. So the idea is that you want to catch the cancer early. If you catch it early, then it could be curable, right? So if you catch it and it's just a couple of cells which have sort of gone bad, then if you were able to just take those cells out, right, and the surrounding tissue, then the cancer's gone. What surgeons try to do is, so they stage these cancers, right? Depending on how widely they spread, how many nodes are involved, whether or not it has involved distant organs, how big the tumor is. But if it's a very early stage, right? If the cancer is at a very early stage, what the surgeon can do oftentimes is they can go and they can cut the tumor out. They can cut the cancer out. And sometimes that can be curative, right? You just cured the person's cancer. Now, when it's at an early stage and the surgeon goes in to cut the tumor out, he makes sure that he doesn't cut just the tumor out, but he cuts out the surrounding tissues as well. Right? Why does the surgeon do that? Why does he take the surrounding tissue? So, if this was the tumor, then the surgeon would cut maybe one or 2 inches around it, so that there's a wider portion of the human body that the person is taking off. If there's a cancer in only one portion of the colon, sometimes they'll take out a huge segment of the colon, right? And then they re-anastomose the other portions. So why do you do that? Because they want to make sure that there's no cancer left within the body. One of our attendings, he said, so because this is what we do, right? We look for cancer. He says, why does a surgeon go in and leave cancer within the body, leave cancer behind in the body? That's sort of not what you actually went in to do in the first place. You want to get all of it out. So that the reason that they take extra is they want to make sure you get all of it out. And to make sure that they get all of it out is when they take out that bigger portion of the bigger than the cancer itself, right? They take out the surrounding tissues. Then on the edge of the tissues, they also take small samples, right? We'll take small samples and you'll check to see if there's any cancer there. Maybe there's one cell there. Maybe there's 2 cells. Maybe there's a little bit of a growth there. And if you find cancer there, then it's very likely that there's some cancer also left behind in the human body. Then they have to go back and cut more out. Right, and so on and so forth. So they're very careful, right, that they don't just remove the tumor, but they remove what goes around it. Now, there is a cancer which has devastated untold lives of Muslims, right? Untold numbers of lives. And that's what I actually sort of wanted to talk about today. What is it? It's actually something starts with an I and ends with a T, right? Internet. Our teachers say this is into the net, right? This one thing called the internet, Allahu Akbar Kabira, has caused so much damage to the Muslim Ummah, I cannot tell you. Right? It causes so much damage, I cannot tell you. I mean, so many people who are righteous, they want to progress, they want to become pious, they want to lead good lives as a good Muslim, but the one Achilles heel that they have is the internet. It's their downfall. Right? It takes giants and it chops them at their knees and then they fall down. It's such an addiction that even when a person wants to let go, they're striving, they're desiring, they're yearning, they're longing to let go, can't let go. Right? It becomes that addictive and it takes over people's life to that extent. And you know, when you think about who's being infected by the internet, it's not just, you know, the young 20-year-old college student who's going to, bad websites with pornography, for example, on the website. That's not the people who are being affected negatively by the internet. The old are affected, the young are affected. Those who are married are affected, those who are unmarried are affected. Those who are men are affected, and even women are affected, I'm telling you. Even women are affected. The righteous are affected, and those who are less righteous, even they are affected. They can tell you story after story after story. And recently, I mean, some of those are probably not, you know, best not even to mention, but even old individuals spend hours and hours and hours looking at things which are, you know, as you think about the filth of humanity, right? And that's what they're, and they're just glued to the screen for hours. I'm talking about people who are 60 or 70 years old. Grandmothers, grandfathers, you know, that age, just can't get away from it. So it's something which has, when recently I just came back from Hajj, right? Alhamdulillah. And I got to spend some time with my own Sheikh. And most of the time that we spent talking, right, I didn't have a lot of time with him because he was also very tired, he was very busy. But most of the time that I had with him, we actually just talked about this, about the internet. Because that's how devastating it is for the Muslim Ummah. When you talk about spiritual physicians who are trying to get people to move along on the path closer to Allah, there's very few things which has affected so many people so pervasively as the internet. And so what he told me, he said, this was his words, he said that this is a weapon of mass destruction. Right? These are the WMDs of Shaitan. No, Shaitan knows that he has this internet, he could just basically go on vacation. Right? Because, so almost everyone is affected. It's extremely detrimental. And I don't even have to go into telling people why it's so detrimental, because everyone just already knows to themselves, right? How it's affected themselves in their life so badly, right? Why they do and say and experience things that they would never have done in public, but they do on the internet. So I don't really even necessarily need to delve into that subject. But الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة, as it comes in the Quran, but a human being, he knows very well to himself where, you know, how much water he's in. What is the reality of this internet? Why is it so addictive? If you think about it, right, it's a nafs's paradise. It's a nafs's paradise. Why? Because the nafs doesn't just like one thing. It always likes change. It likes novelty. It likes something new. It likes to jump from one thing to one thing to one thing. That's why, you know, men who are, you know, extremely hedonistic, they don't stick with one woman, right? Then they jump from one woman to one woman to one woman, one woman to one woman. You know, there's stories of these kings who've had, you know, 500, 600 wives. Why? right? Because when the nafs is out of control, it doesn't like to stay any place, right? It's always jumping from one thing to another. And what the internet provides is exactly what the nafs is seeking, right? Even with television, right, the nafs is not in total control, right? Because, yes, it keeps on changing images, and, you know, and you look at, you know, cinematography and some of the things that they do, where they don't, you know, focus on one image for too long, and they keep on cut this image, look from a different angle, cut this image, look from a different angle. And all of this is just to keep the person, you know, engaged. And that's why you have, like, you know, ADHD and people with, you know, deficiencies in their attention span. It's just because people's nerves are so spoiled now. They're so spoiled. They're so spoiled that even TV is not enough. But the problem with TV, right, people have 150 channels, but even 150 channels is not enough for the nafs, right? It wants more. And that's why when you jump into the World Wide Web, right, it's actually the web of shaitan. When people jump on the web, then there's no, they say there's, like, quote-unquote unlimited possibilities, right? The nafs can just keep on going and going and going and going and going and going. Nafs can get tired, right? But then, you know, there's always more possibilities and more websites to be had. You know, every so many minutes, there are, you know, new pornographic sites which are going up, probably. You know, every day so many new websites go on. So there's this sort of abyss which is created in the internet, which the nafs loves. So what is the reality of the internet? The reality of the internet is it is a conglomeration of all the lahu, right, vanity, love, which is useless things, and sins that a human being can think of, that is, they are given access to with the shade of privacy. With the shade of privacy. There's not a person, right, who could, you know, if you look at that history, right, everyone, every kid in America knows how to delete their history, right? You can delete that history on the internet browser. You can delete the history on Kiram and Katibin, right? That history is just, it's indelible. It's already there. But everyone knows, you know, that, you know, how to do that. But why do they do that? Because they're ashamed. They're ashamed about the things that they do and the things that they say. People go into different chat rooms and pretend to be people that they're not, and they would never want anyone to find out what they were and what they said and what they were doing. And we know from hadith that what is sin? مَحَاكَ فِي صَدْرِكُ وَكَرِهَ أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That sin is that thing that, you know, it makes you, unsettles your own heart, and you don't like people to find out. And that is the very nature of the internet. Right? That's the secret of the internet that no one finds out. That's why people can spend 5 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, 16 hours on end on the internet, and they spend it in their room, locked up, no one can see them. Right? It's like this veil that they put around themselves, and they feel safe. People feel safe, and they can engage in any sin. Look, in times past, we just came from the haram, right? If you want to look at the leg of a woman, you can't look at it. It's nowhere to be seen, right? You just can't find it. You're in the haram sharif, right? Everyone is clothed, right? If you don't want to see someone's hair, right, a woman's hair, you can't see it. You don't have access. Women who don't wear hijab, right, out of their, you know, reverence for the haramain, when they go there, they start wearing hijab. No one tells them, right? It's something from within. It's a matter of reverence that exists in the heart of a woman. So over there, you want access, you can't get access, right? You can't see those things. And in times past, right, before the internet, it's very hard, right, to see or access these type of, you know, fetish-like fantasies. It was just an impossibility. But the internet made these sins which were quote-unquote impossible, possible. Right? Extremely accessible. It's free, it's abundant, and it's accessible. Right? And it's private. It's like the perfect setup for shaitan. It's the perfect setup for shaitan. That's the reality of the internet. And fine, okay, and there's people are at different levels. Some people are addicted to pornography. And you even listen to American people's writings about the advantages and disadvantages of the internet. They talk about information and communication. They count these advantages. There's a whole different discussion. We won't go into that, right? I'm just talking about things which are flagrantly wrong that even a non-Muslim will agree to. About the disadvantages, even they write that they're defiling the healthy minds of the youth. Even the non-Muslims know it. Right? Even the non-Muslims know it. People who, you know, you think have no moral compass, they realize that this is a dangerous thing. This is a dangerous thing. Why do people need the internet so badly? Right? There's three... Oh, so what I was saying is that not even if you're not involved in pornography, then even, no, there's different levels. So I said, you know, it has every type of sin, but I also said low and low. When you get to higher levels in spirituality, you can't waste a single minute of your time. Anything that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to cut it out of your life. And the internet, what it does is, if you're like living in the level of halal, right, and you don't go to a single bad website, but you still waste your time in a state of heedlessness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, you're playing, you know, trying to raise some type of virtual farm with some goats or something, and you know, and this is what people spend hours of their life doing. And then they say, I don't have time to read 3 juz a day, right? I don't have time to become an alim. If you were to take the amount of time that people spent in the last 5 years and put all of that in Islamic studies, people could have been hafiz and alim by now, perhaps, you know? But it's just a matter of where people desire to invest their time. So I'm telling you, mass destruction. Mass destruction. Why do people go to the internet? Right? And why are they so addicted? If you think about it, there's generally 3 main things which drive a person to the internet. Number one is boredom. Right? A person's bored. They have nothing to do, quote unquote. And this is an American malady. Right, and this is something which just seems to be uniquely Western or something, or maybe it's slowly becoming an international phenomenon. But I find it so odd that if Allah exists and you as a slave exist, then how can you ever be bored? Right? It makes no sense to me. Right? Talk to Allah, read His Quran, right? Engage in dhikr, all these beautiful things, that this beautiful deen that Allah has created for us, right? Increase yourself in knowledge. It makes no sense. No, the righteous, they find that there's not enough hours in the day. When Aisha radiallahu anha, she would start praying, and then when she gets up in the, when she's finishing like 2 rakats, or when she's finishing her prayer, to the effect that the Fajr Azan is going on, and then they would complain, the Sahaba, it would be like, yeah, Allah, you made the night so short that we don't have enough time to worship you. Right. So where's the time to get bored? Right. Where's the time to get bored? They say that, you know, in the Kanz of the 2 orphans whose treasure was underneath the wall that Khizr alayhi salam erected when it was about to fall off. There's different, you know, advices. I don't know if this was exactly the thing, but the meaning at least is correct. But if Jannah is true, then why rest? Right? If Jannah is true, right, rest? This whole concept of being bored, it's actually a very deep disease, right? You need to cut it out. That's one reason, right? People get bored and so they try to entertain themselves on the internet. Number 2 reason is that people feel this emptiness. It's sort of related to boredom. So they feel this emptiness and they try to fill this emptiness by going and engaging in different type of activities on the internet, right? To dull out this voice of silence. And the third thing, and generally is the biggest reason, often for men but often for women as well, is when they're overcome by desire, right? It's an outlet for them, for their nafs to engage in looking at the opposite gender in unusual and aberrant manners, right? So those are the 3 reasons. Now the funny thing is this, right? And listen closely, the funny thing is, if these are the 3 reasons that people go to the internet, the internet is something that will never satisfy any of these 3 things. Actually, it makes each one of these 3 things worse. If you're bored, you go on the internet, it will pacify you for, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours. But when you get used to the internet, as soon as you're off the internet, you're going to be more bored. You're going to be more bored. Your boredom is actually worse. Your nafs gets more and more spoiled until it's never happy. So much so that a person will be chatting for hours and inside they'll just be feeling very uneasy and unsettled. Right? They feel like my time is going, but they're addicted and their whole insides get messed up. Right? This emptiness, people think that if I go to the internet, my emptiness will go away. You just dull it, right? It's like taking pain medication for a little while and you have a gunshot wound in your leg. Right? It doesn't make the gunshot wound go away. Right? It just dulls the pain for a little while and then the disease that you had actually just gets worse. That emptiness, that gnawing, you know, emptiness and loneliness that exists just gets worse. And the same thing applies to this shahwa, to this, you know, sensual or sexual desire that people have. The more you feed your nafs, the more it will want it. And that's why people start off from soft porn, then they go to hard porn, and then they go into the most, you know, weird and unusual type of, you know, viewing the most unusual type of activities for hours on end. Right? For hours on end. It's ajeeb. They look at, I mean, it doesn't even behoove us to mention the type of things that people look at. So what's the solution, right? What's the solution? Let me just tell you one thing. If anyone is going to the internet for any one of these three reasons, you're looking for love in all the wrong places, as they say. If you want to fix the solution, your void is spiritual, then fill it with something spiritual. Right? People say, oh, so you're going to tell me to do dhikr, you're telling me to do ibadah, and you make that will make me feel better? I can't even stand up for two rakat, nothing. Yeah, today you can, but get into the field, and once you start feeling the pleasure of ibadah, you'll never turn back. You'll never want to turn back. But you got to give it a try, right? You got to give it a try. You got to immerse yourself in ibadah the same way that you immerse yourself in the internet, and then tell me, right? And then tell me that it didn't make a difference in your life. And then tell me that you're not satisfied. And then tell me you're not happier in your life. And then tell me, and you know, the type of destruction, this type of internet, I'll tell you, even from a dunyawi perspective, forget about, you know, ruining your akhirah. That's given. That's like a given. People are not going to make, you know, they're absolving themselves and they're, you know, distancing themselves from the beautific vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. I don't know why, I mean, why would you want to trade looking at the filth of this world for looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter? It just doesn't make any sense. But even in the dunya, it's ruining lives. Marriages are being broken. People lie. People do riba. People get so used to looking at bad things and then pleasuring themselves that they're not able to even satisfy their partners. Right? Marriages fall apart, relations fall apart, people cheat on each other, people lead duplicitous lives of hypocrisy. It's a net. It's exactly what it is. It's a net and it grabs you and you get stuck. Right? How do you get out? So that's why I talked about cancer in the beginning. Right? I spent a little bit of time talking about cancer. How do you get rid of this cancer in your life? You need to have surgical excision with wide margins. What is it? Surgical incision with wide margins. What does that mean? I can tell you, like, oh, you should put net nanny on your computer and move your computer into a public spot. You know what? I've tried these things and these things don't work. If you want to get it out of your life and you're serious about it, take the internet and cancel it from your life. That is the safe route. Take the internet and cancel it from your life. And it's really, in many ways, it's like TV. You know, people, like, when I tell them that I haven't, like, watched TV, God knows, probably more than a decade, right? I haven't had a TV. And then, like, people, like, they look at you as, like, how can you live without a TV? But I'll tell you, once the TV is out of your life, you'll never miss it. In the beginning, yeah, there's like this period where your nafs like acts up a little bit. But once you kick music out of your life, TV out of your life, you're so much more happy. You're so much more at peace. You're so much more, you actually live life, right? You're full. You're alive. It's just awesome. But you have to experience it. You have to kick it out of your life. And you know, I don't even think now, right? Like, oh, I don't have a TV. Right? For other people, it might seem so weird. Internet, in many ways, is the same way. You kick it out of your life, you won't miss it. You won't miss it. I was just at the for Hajj for, what, 3 weeks now? Completely no internet access, right? No internet access. I didn't have internet access until I came back to Abu Dhabi en route back to the U.S., where I had to check my work emails, just make sure that, you know, there nothing catastrophic had happened. And you know what? Nothing catastrophic happened. Right? If you, I can be a resident at one of the best hospitals in the country, right, with students and all these type of responsibilities you lay on my shoulders, with three children, and I mean, whatever responsibilities you can put on my shoulders, and if I can do 3 weeks without internet and nothing really happens, then why can't anyone else? With less responsibilities, right? They're less encumbered. There's less things on the line. Why can't you? When I was in my final year of hadith studies in South Africa, I think I went, so I was in med school, right? So people like, oh, you're in med school, so it's very important, I'm going to get important emails. I probably went through the entire year without, you could probably count on my hand, one hand, the amount of times I had to check my email. And that's because I was actually applying for residency programs. I had to do my personal statement and stuff. And you know what? In 1 year, nothing happened. The sky didn't fall. My life didn't fall apart. Everything was just kept on going. Right? Life doesn't stop for you. Right? You keep on thinking that something, you know, amazing is going to happen on the internet and I have to check my email every 5 minutes or every 20 minutes and, you know, people are just, they're addicted. Like something really important is going to happen. Believe me, if something important happens, someone will let you know. Right? I was working at the hospital when the swine flu epidemic happened, right? Someone else came and told me about the swine flu, right? Because you just don't follow up with them. They're like, oh, you're a doctor and you don't know about the swine flu? I said, okay, now I know about it. Right? Now I know about it. If something's important, the news will come to you. Our Shaykh al-Hadith, who taught us Muslim, he went 16 years without reading the newspaper. Right? What, his life stopped? Such a naked individual, such a righteous individual, that when he speaks, there's ta'asir in his words. Right? And why? Because you cut out all this noise from your life, then you actually have a chance to actually concentrate on Allah. You draw on yourself that this person killed this person, that person killed this one, this person having an affair with this person, and you know there's this oil spill and this, and then not like you actually do anything about it. Right? And if I were to ask anyone in the room that what happened in the news last week, they'd be hard-pressed. I don't really remember, right? Then what was the point? All you did was drown your mind in news that just drowned out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the news, and drowned out yourself from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually very detrimental, and it actually desensitizes people. Back in the day, if there was one murder, it would be like front page. Right, like in the 50s or 40s, it was like a really big deal because people couldn't imagine another person could actually raise a gun and actually kill another individual because it's so inhuman. But since now that you've heard it, you know, 50 times every single day, then even to you it's not a big deal. Oh yeah, another person died. Oh yeah, another catastrophe. Oh yeah, you know, there's another, massacre in this country. Oh, it's just people, they're just dying. Right, you lose that human sense. Understand that. If you cut your internet out of your life will not stop. Your life... Okay, this is for those people who know that they have a problem with the internet. And which is like almost everybody. Right? There's only like a few slaves of Allah that you can think of who actually, you know, use the internet responsibly. And for them, inshallah, you know, you use it for every good purpose. And people, then shaitan is coming to you. But then I won't be able to read all the good Islamic articles. Go and become a hafiz. Right? Right? Yeah, you won't read two articles, but you'll become a hafiz, inshallah. And you won't commit spiritual suicide every single day. Right? Because that's how the internet works. You go to check the news, and then in the corner there's some pop-up, and the person says, oh, I wonder what happened over there, and that goes to somewhere else, and then that goes to some YouTube video, and then on the side there's some other thing, and before you know it, you're somewhere where you never even had imagined you wanted to go there. Right? And then after that, you do things that you never imagined that you wanted to do, and then you come out, and you're like, oh my God, what just happened here? Right, it's just like a whirlwind, and it happens day in and day out, day in, day out. If you want to get the internet out of your life, I mean the plague of internet out of your life, cut it out of your life, cancel your, you know, subscription, right? And with wide margins. Don't give yourself access. You need to check your email. Go once a week to your friend's house or to your parent, in front of your parents on the house computer, which is sitting in, you know, in front of everyone else, or, you know, go to the library in front of everyone else. Check your email once a week. That's fine. That's plenty. If you have a problem, that's what, you know, drastic problems require drastic measures. This is a drastic measure. Cut it out of your life. Check your email once a week, once every 2 weeks, right? If you have to do some report for people, say, oh, but I'm in college. How much, if you look at how much research you actually do for your, like, people don't even read the textbook, right? Read your books, do your problems, you know, prepare for class. If you look at how much time you actually, if you actually did have a research project and you actually need to look it up, then just go to the library. It's a little bit inconvenient, right? But it's a lot safer. It's a lot safer. Distance yourself, create, like, that's what we mean by creating a wide margin. If you do that, right, if you do that, inshallah, you will see a huge, huge impact in your life. And then once it becomes under control, then you can even consider bringing it back in your life, right? Once you're also, you know, responsible about it. But if a person has a problem, then for at least for a year, whatever, however many months you need to get over it, just cut it out of your life. The final thing is sometimes what happens with some individuals, when the cancer gets really bad, right, when it happens and gets all over the body, what do you need to do? You can't cut it out with surgery. The surgeon can't do that because it's all over the body now. When some person is really, really, really stuck on the internet, right, then, you know, what does the surgeon do, or what do they refer them to? They refer them to radiation oncology or the oncologist, and they give them chemotherapy and radiation. Our chemo radiation is in Makkah Mukarramah. Right. So if you're really in a problem, right, and you're really just so filthy that you just can't get out of it, then find a righteous individual and go to the haram and spend some time there. Right. Just stay in the itikaf, cut that stuff off, and let the nur and the tajalliyat that are descending upon that place serve as your radiation therapy. It will cleanse you in a very amazing way, right? But that's like, you know, that's the big gun. Right? That's the big gun. First, try this, right? Just cancel it, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. And the reason I spent so much time talking about this is because, I mean, most of the issues are just this. Everything is just related to internet, right? This and the, not the cell phone, or Sheikh, he used to call it the hell phone, right? And in many ways, it is the hell phone. Even the people who use it responsibly, if you look at how many minutes that you use in a month, right? If you're using up 1,400 minutes, 3,000 minutes, friends and family free, this and that, that's all time that you spent away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally. And most people, you know, wives are talking and talking to, you know, this guy and getting into a relationship with that guy when their husband's not at home, and just families breaking apart. It's just, there is problem and a problem about cell phones, but perhaps that's a different topic for a different day. But this is like, if you talk about the top 10 tools of shaitan, internet is probably number, you know, is definitely like probably top 3, right, in this day and age. So just cut it out, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to take these things which distract us from getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of our lives, and may He grant us the istiqama and the strength to make the right decisions in our lives, and may he allow our hearts, our eyes, and our lives to become completely pure and focused on Him and Him alone, because ultimately that's where pleasure lies. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.